What's going on, y'all? It's your man, Uncle Black, and all of that, aka Mac. Another week gone. Got some wrestling to talk about. Welcome to 2.5 Hills. Now, last week, we only had 1.5 hills. Now, this week, there's only 1 hill. It's going to be me holding the fort down today, Dolo. Bree is on vacation. And Niall started work. So shout out to Niall. Shout out to Bree. Hope y'all tune in just like everybody else. Hope y'all tune in. Take a listen. Because we covering SmackDown. We going to cover Monday Night Raw. We going to get into some of this AEW Dynamite. And also we're going to preview AEW Dynamite, which is tomorrow night, emanating live from Philadelphia. I hear that card is stacked. I can't wait to get into that. And a bunch of other stuff here on 2.5 Hills. So, without any further ado, let's get into it. Alright, so now we are kicking things off with Monday Night Raw, right? We kick it off. Judgment Day is in the ring. Well, actually, they make their entrance. Very, very happy Judgment Day, who has regained the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. Two-time champs now. They just came out to celebrate and gloat. Finn Balor did Damian's catchphrase. It was a good time. Now, this is the opening promo for Monday Night Raw, so you knew somebody was going to interrupt. And, of course, it was the American Nightmare, Cody, who came out and pretty much told Damo, hey, listen, you kicked me in the balls last week, and it ain't over. So Damian said, hey, listen, we got a big show coming up. Why don't it be Damian Priest versus Cody Rhodes at Crown Jewel? And immediately Cody said, I accept. But where Cody messed up, he went to be a valiant babyface, and he said, hey, why don't we give him a preview of Crown Jewel right now? And Cody got jumped. Judgment Day ran out. Rhea Ripley ran out. Dom ran out. But as they were running out, Jay ran out too. And a brawl ensued. And all you need to know is at the end of this brawl, Cody got his foot lodged up against the steel steps and smashed with a steel chair. So it appears that Cody's ankle is just donezo. And how is he going to make it to Crown Jewel? But it set up the rest of the night, and it made for great television. And we also found out that Jay was facing Damian Priest in the main event tonight of Raw. So that's actually going to be a great match. Now from there, we go to commercial, come back. We see Cody in pain and Jay trying to get him to the trainer's room. It was such a good time. Moving on, first match of the night, tag team action, the New Day taking on the Alpha Academy. Now I knew from who got out here and what was going to happen that this was going to be a good match, because Gable can go, Otis can go, Woods can go, and Kofi can go. And this match was back and forth for a while until some shenanigans and chicanery went down, and the New Day defeated the Alpha Academy after Kofi hit the Trouble in Paradise, and then Woods finished with the elbow off the rope. That was a great match. Now, after that, we cut back to Becky Lynch cutting a promo because she's facing Indy Hartwell this evening. And if you look carefully in the background, you see Xia Li just walking past looking. So it looks like she is getting a very, very subtle push. Now, right before this match started, we got a promo from Ivar. Now, looky here. Ever since Eric went down with the injury, Ivar has been wrestling, and it seems like they're pushing him down, because this promo makes him seem like a monster, makes him seem like somebody that you don't really want to mess with. So moving forward, I gotta see where this goes. I think he's gonna go on a singles run. It looks very, very good. Now shortly after that, we see Seth Rollins walking down the hall, and he is interrupted by Rhea Ripley. And you know, Rhea is spinning her webs, Rhea's trying to get him into the Judgment Day. Rhea is wheeling and dealing out here. Now, obviously, Seth Rollins says no. Well, I don't think he actually said no. He's like, I'm not trying to be Roman Reigns. So, I don't know. We're just going to have to put a pin in that and come back to it. Now, right after that, we know it was Becky versus Indy up next for the NXT Women's Championship. Now, before that match, Natalya just walked up and was like, good luck, you know. And in my head, I'm thinking, nobody asked you, Natty. I mean, we get it. You're a vet. You've been here forever. You had a lot of experience. But nobody asked you, Natty. So, yeah, we get into the Indy Becky match. Fire. Okay, Becky is doing what she said she was here to do, and that is elevate the NXT Women's Championship. It should be illegal that they're doing this, because that championship should be on NXT, and it is. But with it being on Raw, it's gaining so much notoriety, so much critical acclaim, and Becky is doing exactly what she said she was doing. Back and forth contest. Indy had a couple of spots where I thought that she could have did it, but in my heart of hearts, I know she wasn't going to win that. I knew she wasn't. And then right after that match, we cut back to Candice LeRae watching the match, you know, sad for a friend. But then Xia Li comes out of nowhere, ambushes her, and then tells her, hey, I'm coming after Indy too. So we really have to get a look at Xia Li and see where this goes. I want to see how she turns out. Then directly after that, we go into a promo where you see Nick Aldis coming in the locker room, talking to Adam Pearce, trying to squash the beef from last week on SmackDown. We'll get into that in a little bit. But moving forward, we got the contract signing for the Fatal 5-Way Women's Heavyweight Championship match at Crown Jewel. Everybody comes out, does like a quick sign and walk deal until Rhea comes out, cuts an amazing promo, ending it with Mommy is always on top. And this match is just going to be a car crash, to be completely honest. And if this is, like we said last week, if this is a ploy to get the belt off of Rhea in this Fatal 5-Way match, then you know what? I wouldn't be mad, because it's a Fatal 5-Way. It's a lot of moving pieces. Anything can happen. But Rhea's not losing. She's not going to lose this championship. No time soon. All right? Then we cut back to, we cut back to Imperium getting ready, because Giovanni Vinci has a match against Johnny Gargano, and if he doesn't put Gargano on a stretcher, Gunther's gonna get him. So they're back there talking. Ludwig Kaiser is talking to Giovanni, getting them together. Then Bronson Reed swags up on him and says, hey, listen, good match to Gunther last week. Whenever you're ready for a rematch, I'm ready. And as they leave away, Bronson still stands there. Tozawa comes in and says, hey, Bronson, I want to fight you. Now, Bronson is a good person, because initially he said no. And Tozawa goes and chops his chest. Just chops his chest. So now he said, it's your funeral. So now that's been made for later tonight. Bronson Reed versus Tozawa. I'm going to just let you know that now. We can skip over that. Bronson Reed, it was a nice match, but you knew Tozawa was getting squashed. It didn't work. Tozawa got squashed. But moving on over to the Johnny Gargano Giovanni Vinci match, it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. Johnny being Johnny and Giovanni being Giovanni. Both are very, very good in the ring, and they both know how to tell the stories. Now, we know that this match is just getting us to the Imperium versus DIY match, and it did such a good job, because you had Ludwig Kaiser on the outside causing interference until Tommaso Ciampa came back and got rid of Ludwig, and that helped Johnny Gargano hit the one final beat and got the victory over Giovanni Vinci. It was a good time. Now, after that, we cut to a Shinsuke Nakamura promo, and he is talking reckless in Japanese, okay? Trying to find out who his next challenger is. Now, I don't know, but at this rate, the rate he's going, I'm happy to see whoever they pair him up with, all right? And then moving on to quite possibly the best darn part of the night. Logan Paul came out to cut a promo. Nuclear heat for this guy. They can't stand him. And this is how it was supposed to be in the first place. He's supposed to be a bad guy, all right? And then in the midst of him bigging up his match with Rey Mysterio at Crown Jewel, out comes Dominic. Dominic comes out, I swear. I couldn't hear anybody. I heard the crowd booing, but I could not hear Dom nor Logan. You know, the promo ended with Ricochet coming out, whooping on him. Because, you know, he pulled his fiance, Logan Paul pulled Ricochet's fiance into the ring to, you know, heal it up and announce him as the new U.S. champion when the match hasn't happened yet. Ricochet came out, put hands on him, put hands and feet on him. And Dominic got beat down for it. So that's going to lead to Dominic versus Ricochet next week. That was a very, very good match. Well, promo, if you will. Wait. That was a very good promo right there. And it's definitely setting up a lot of things moving forward. So then we score. Now we move on to Chelsea Green and Piper Niven having a match against Natalya and a partner of Natalya's choosing. Now I'm going to tell you this now. Natty, nobody cares about your expertise, and no one damn sure cares about what you need, because you picked Nikki Cross as your partner. And Nikki Cross just walked off on you. And she looked dope. She looked in a trance-like state the entire match. And she just left. And Natty got beat. So, I mean, I kind of thought that that was going to happen anyway. But not the way that it did. Now, we was moving on to later in the show. Drew McIntyre pretty much solidified that heel turn. Talking to Jay about, hey, whatever happens to Sammy is on you. So I think at this point he's already there. He's there already. So it's just we gotta put the icing on the cake. We gotta put the candle on top of the cake, and we gotta blow this candle at Crown Jewel. It just has to happen. Now moving forward, The Miz, I'm trying to get this man on TV forever. My man got on TV for 5 minutes, and they just cut from him. Like, Rhea Ripley just walks up, signs the contract that Adam Pearce has, and just takes the camera away from Miz. Just takes it away. And she runs into Dom, and now she's checking on him from what happened earlier. So, next matchup. I'm going to speed bag the rest of these because I'm getting a little bit tired. So, Drew McIntyre faced Sami Zayn. And as far as I'm concerned, all this does was solidify Drew's heel run, which is coming soon. Rhea Ripley came out, caused a distraction, and Sami Zayn definitely was distracted. Drew McIntyre came in with the Claymore kick, uno, dos, and a trace. And just like that, Drew McIntyre has momentum going into Crown Jewel. Moving on, we see a segment backstage where Nick Aldis is talking, possibly scouting, Caden Carter and Katana Chance behind Adam Pearce's back. So from then, Adam Pearce arrives and throws him out. And for some reason, Nikki Cross just cuts in the promo, just walking through it. We don't know what's up with her. Now, as I said, we're going to skip over to Tozawa and Bronson Reed because, it was exactly what you thought it was. A squash. Shout out to Big Bronson Reed. After that, we got a promo from the New Day in the back talking to Gable and Otis, who were holding a Dallas Cowboys championship belt. That's because they were in Dallas for Raw. And then DIY came back in and said that, hey, they're back and they're ready to wrestle. So as far as the tag team division on Raw is indeed stacked for sure. Now after that, we get a promo from Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. They're both face to face, and Drew McIntyre makes sure that he gets the point across that, hey, I don't need the Judgment Day to win, but maybe you do. So at this point, Seth said, hey, nobody needs the Judgment Day. Agreed? Agreed. So at this point, somebody's going to screw somebody over. I don't believe that no one's going to get involved at all. And so the main event was Damian Priest and Jey Uso. I feel like this is definitely being used as a vehicle to get Damian Priest that main event shine that he so well deserves. And of course, main event Jey Uso. just carrying the load and being the top guy. Pause. I don't know if I can say that, bro. I don't know. I thought I was going to be able to go past that. We're going to have to stop. We ain't going to do that one. But Jey Uso is really handling the business in the main event spot right now. And he had a good match with Damo. But, you know, a little bit of shenanigans post-match. But Damian Priest picked up a victory against a game. Jey Uso. Now, Cody tried to hop a lot on one foot to make the save. But that didn't really work too much. Didn't really work much at all. All right. So, we're going to talk about what's going on next week for Raw, and then we'll be finished. Then I'll take a break, come back, and then we will talk about AEW Dynamite. Now, next week on Raw, they announced some matches. We got Seth Rollins taking on JD McDonagh. We got Candice LeRae going up against Xia Li. DIY taking on Imperium. Welcome back, DIY. And because of what happened earlier, it's going to be Ricochet versus The Condom, Rey Mysterio. Now, Raw, overall, I had a very good time. It didn't feel like 3 hours until 2.5 hours. So, I'll definitely say that. But for real, I love it. I can't wait to see what happens next week with everything. And that was Monday Night Raw. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to 2.5 Heels. We just covered Monday Night Raws. Now we're about to get into these AEW's Dynamites, and after that, we're going to cover SmackDown. So let's go. We kick off Dynamite with a banger. It's the only thing I can call it. It was a darn banger, a fun match between Jay White and Penta El Cierro Miedo. Okay, these two went back and forth, and of course it was gonna end with shenanigans because the entire Bullet Club Gold was at ringside, even though Alex was down there for Penta. The numbers game just was too much. Jay White hits the Blade Runner, 1, 2, 3. That is it. Now after that, they talk. Now Juice Robinson, we know Juice Robinson is in the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal later on tonight, and he says that he is going to win the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal. Then he's going to defeat MJF to take the Dynamite Dozen ring, the Dynamite Diamond ring, and pawn it. That's what they're going to do. Now this ring is very expensive, but that's his plan. Now after that, we cut to the back, and MJF is pretty much saying it's not going down like that, and he'll be on commentary for the entire main event, and it's going to be a good time. Now, after that, Max Caster comes in the shot, and he says he wants to win that Battle Royal tonight and defeat MJF for the ring next week. Now, if you know, you know. If you don't, go find out. I ain't going to explain it. Now, after that, we go into a AEW Women's Championship contender match. Basically, if you beat the champ, you get a title shot. In this match, it was Hikaru Shida versus Emi Sakura. Now, let me tell you this. Them women beat lumps out of each other. They known each other for a long time, and you can tell in that ring that they do. They beat lumps out of each other. But it was Shida who got the job done. All right. Shida is money. Holy Shida. Moving forward, we have a huge, huge interview with Adam Copeland. I'm gonna call him Edge, because he's still Edge to me. But Adam Copeland and Renee Paquette had a sit down interview, and basically Edge just straight up said, I'm not here to fight Christian for the belt, I just want to tag with him. So when Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne stop and leave him where he is, I'll be there to pick him up. Now I don't know if this is anything, but I noticed in the background of the interview, I saw a ladder in the background of the set where they was at. Now that could just be a red herring to throw you off, but I feel like if there is a match between Edge and Christian, it has to be a ladder match. I feel like there was nothing else that they could do whatever they want, but it would just be nice for it to be indeed a ladder match. Now we move on from that to another squash. Wardlow is just out here killing everybody as far as I'm concerned. He had a squash. He squashed Ryan Nemeth. Just ran through him. And then to make matters worse, I guess we're solidifying him as a heel now, because Tony Schiavone got in the ring and started asking him questions about, hey, what's going on? Why are you acting like this? And Wardlow has MJF written on his wrist tape. And when he left the ring, I'm not even going to lie, like, he bumped Tony Schiavone. Like, you don't bump Tony Schiavone. Much love and respect, but you don't bump Tony Schiavone. So Wardlow, I think this is saying, hey, Wardlow's a bad guy because he bumped Tony Schiavone. We don't do that. So from there, we cut to a Kenny Omega promo, because Kenny, he's got a match against one half of Aussie Open's Kyle Fletcher. But as he's talking to Renee Paquette, who is the hardest working woman in AEW, let's just call it what it is, MJF walks up and whispers in his ear, 13 days. Now, for me, I had no idea what that 13 days meant. But upon further investigation, within 13 days, MJF will pass Kenny Omega as the longest reigning AEW world champion in the company's history. So, 13 days. Now, after that, we cut to the continuation of Adam Cole at Roddy's house. Now, at this point, Adam is he's over these guys. He's over them because they're dragging it. But they start talking about how Adam used to make great PB&Js on the indies. So they slow motion him making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It is it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Now, as soon as he finished the sandwich and gives it to Roddy, he spits it out. And he says, I don't like the crust. Now, you can see Adam getting ready to just hurt him. And he's like, yo, I can't take this. I'm out. So then he leaves. And then Roddy says, hey, now I got to be nice to MJF. So now the story just keeps on going. It's so good. I cannot wait to see where this ends, because I have no clue where it ends. But this is so, so good. So as we move on, we get a Don Callis promo in the ring, because Kyle Fletcher is about to face Kenny, but Don Callis is out there gloating with Hobbs and Konosuke, and calls Fletcher out. Fletcher comes out. He says, if I beat Kenny, you know, what's up? And Don's like, if you beat Kenny, we'll have a discussion next week. Now, of course, we go to Kenny Omega versus Kyle Fletcher, and great match. Kyle lost, but it was a good, I mean, it's Kyle Fletcher versus Kenny Omega. If you know anything about either one of these two wrestlers, then you know that this match was going to be a hit. With Don Callis on commentary, just added that little bit of twang to it. But these guys went back and forth, and it looked like it was earned. Now, after that match, we get to a Danhausen promo. Said he's coming back fairly soon. So, can't wait to see that, you know, Danhausen's healthy. Can't wait to see what he can do back in AEW. Now we're moving on. I haven't seen this man in so long. We get a Lance Archer squash match. And his introduction, kicking his opponent down to the ring, is Lance Archer. I'm so happy that he's back in AEW. I'm so happy that he's back on TV. I'll give him the belt. Put the belt on him. Because at that point, if anybody could run with it. I mean, you got so much talent everywhere. But for me, put it on Lance Archer. And this match didn't even last 2 minutes. So the guy works quick, doesn't get paid by the hour. We love Lance Archer. So we move on. We see a video of Swerve Strickland getting ready for this new video premiere for his song, entrance theme for the, you know, Swerve, when I drive, then I swerve, when I drive, what up, Swerve? And basically, he just says, hey, Hangman, I'm on your head like a fitted top. His promo was way better than that, but translation, I think this is going to, it's a rematch happening in Full Gear, because this can't be over. The way he was talking, this just cannot be over yet. Now, after that, we move on to possibly one of my least favorite parts of the night, but it had to happen. Sting's last match, he announced that it was going to be at Revolution 2024. So at next year's Revolution, he is going to retire. He said it, the R word. The promo was good, But if I had to pick one part from it that made me laugh, is when he brought up Hulk Hogan. Without missing a beat, the entire crowd just booed. It's good TV. But shout out to Sting and everything he's done in this business. And we definitely out here. Now, another thing that's definitely out here is Timeless Toni Storm. And I just want to say this right here, right now. I am a fan and I support everything that you got going on, because she has embraced this character and went all in on it. And you don't see that no more in this business. So to Toni Storm, to Timeless Toni Storm, give her all the belts. Give her all of the belts. Now, moving on, we get to this Nick Wayne interview, the sit down interview with JR. And it's tugging at the heartstrings because I love my mama. I really do. So here to hear him say what he said to his mama, "You're dead to me." Like, you don't say that to your mom. So all this saying is that Christian has got him brainwashed real good. At the end of the interview, Christian came in, tapped on his shoulder. "You ready, son? Let's go." And it was just so good. Oh, just tugging at the heartstrings. Now, right at the end of the interview, right at the end of it, Darby came out, made it hot. Darby came out, made it hot, beat the freak. Wait, I can curse? Yeah, I'm going to head curse. He beat the buck out of Nick Wayne. Popped his tooth all that. He was bleeding. It was a good scratch. Then came out to make the save. It was so good. I cannot wait to see where this is going. All right. Then after that, we get a promo from the best friends, where, you know, best friends are deep and best friends got all the gold. Hook is the FTW champion. Orange Cassidy is the international champion. Chris Statlander is the TBS champion. They are out here. And then shortly after that, we get a huge, and I mean huge, announcement as far as Dynamite next week. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're ready, let's get into it. So next week, Tony Khan says he has a huge gift for Sting, and that will go down tomorrow, actually, in Philadelphia. After that, the team of Hook and Rob Van Dam, yes, you heard me right, RVD, will be teaming up on Dynamite next week. And also, the Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royale winner will be facing MJF for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Now, of course, we all knew that Juice Robinson was winning that Battle Royale to take it on home and really walk out of here as the number one contender for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. And they will fight it out next week on Dynamite. And when we get to the Dynamite preview, we'll get into all the matches in specific. But overall, for that Dynamite, man, I was rocking and rolling from the jump. They had me hook, line, and sinker. I enjoyed everything about it. So if I had to give it an up or a down, it's definitely gonna get an up. We are back. Let's get it. We are talking about Friday Night Smackdown. Hey, if you still rocking with me on the pod, thank you for listening. I just want to, you know, appreciate you, because, you know, wrestling, I love wrestling. And if you're going to love listening to me talk about it, then, man, listen, I got love for you. Appreciate you. So we're going to move on to Smackdown now. We kick off Smackdown, Paul Heyman in the ring, cutting a promo on Mr. LA Knight. And of course, since this is an opening promo for a WWE program, LA Knight shortly interrupted. And then, you know, it broke down. LA Knight, you know, got his shtick in. And basically, they just bigging up the match at Crown Jewel between him and Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship in Riyadh. And it's about to go down. So I can't wait for that. I mean, everything in me want LA Knight to win, but we know it's not going to happen. But then again, anything can happen in WWE, so it's whatever. So we move on to the Street Profits and Lashley in the locker room, getting Montez Ford ready for his match against Santos Escobar. And this match is going the way I think it need to go, because Street Profits are heels now. Bad guys. Shout out to the heels. and we need to really establish them as bad guys. So throughout this entire match, you look at Montez Ford, and he is whooping on Santos. All right? Whooping on him. Some of them shots look a little stiff, but that's neither here nor there. So needless to say, Montez Ford gets the dub, and they start working. They start putting in work. Out of nowhere, Carlito comes out, makes the save. All right? So that just lets you know that if you didn't know before, it's a wrap. And we not good guys no more. Now, so after that, there was a promo in the back. And Rey Mysterio was talking about what he was getting ready to do. And told Escobar and them, like, yeah, y'all go ahead and go home. And the look on Escobar's face is just screaming that, hey, Escobar is going to turn on Mysterio. I mean, if you go back and take a look at it, you look at him and you can see it all in the body language. Something going to give. And it's going to be beautiful when it happens. All right. Then we cut to Pretty Deadly. Arguably MVPs of the tag team division on SmackDown right now. They were at a spa. I wish I was making that up. They were at a spa, having a spa day. And then out of nowhere, Ridge Holland, Pete Dunne, Butch, just jump them. Just beat them down. So I think that this rivalry is going to keep on going. And personally, I love it. As long as we're using this to push Pretty Deadly to the moon and get them somewhere ready for a tag team title shot somewhere soon in the future, I'm head for it. So then we cut to Jimmy in the locker room with Paul and Solo, just watching TV the normal way, you know, because, you know, they're elite and, you know, they don't have to stand. So after that, John Cena comes out, cuts a promo saying that, hey, I need to fight. Saying that it's been 2002 days since I last won a TV match. Like, come on. That's crazy. And he's like, whoever dumb enough to come out is going to have to catch these hands. So, of course, Solo Sikoa come out. Did I say Sikoa? Solo Sikoa comes out. And, of course, they, even though they looking at each other, they won't fight or not. And of course, you know that Jimmy was going to come out. Jimmy came out. They started scrapping. And then some dude in a mask came out with a hoodie on. Took the hood off his Jay. Jay Uso was in the building. Now, they didn't really fight. But you see what we're doing here. We build into this match. Now, I don't know when it's going down. It could go down at Mania. They might want to do it at Survivor Series. I don't know. But whenever it goes down, this little parallel story arc they're attempting to run, it's going to be good TV. I promise you. If they trying to hold this until WrestleMania, that video package probably going to be Oscar worthy. I'm just saying. Just saying. Now moving on, we have a promo for Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn. Like I said last week, they coming back, and I feel like you're going to have to look out Piper Niven, Chelsea Green. They coming for them belts. Yes, and I calling them belts. Then we cut in the back. We see Nick Aldis talking to Jey Uso. Basically just finding the brother Tim Racks for Invade and SmackDown. Talking about, I'm taking it serious. This is my show, laying down the law. So then he proceeds to kick out Jay and Adam Pearce, who was there. So you know what? We taking this serious. This brand split is for real. It's dead. It's real. So right after that, we cut to Rey Mysterio and Logan Paul going face to face in the ring. And what do you think happened? Logan Paul got his match, Crown Jewel. You missed that. Sorry, y'all. U.S. Championship match at Crown Jewel. Logan Paul versus Rey Mysterio. Now, every fiber of my being is thinking that Logan Paul is about to become the U. Every fiber of my being is thinking that Logan Paul is about to become the U.S. champion. I don't want to believe it, but at this point, would it really hurt the company if he did? I mean, we see that he's serious. Like, he for real with this. So, I mean, I don't know. But Rey Mysterio was a legend, and I wouldn't do him like that. Especially at no Saudi show. But we'll see what happens there. But we move on. We see Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, who is possibly another great heel tag team that you just want to see get hit in the face. What's the name of the team? A-Town Down Under. That's the team name. They had a match against Grayson. They had a match against Cameron Grimes and Dragon Lee. That match, and again, all four men know what they're doing in that ring. They know exactly how to get down. Now, of course, the heels did heelish things, and that's how they got the victory. And I, again, that's another tag team I can easily see being inserted into the tag team title picture rather sooner than later, because it's like they're already made. Like, they're both just two high class jackoffs. You feel me? And then after that, we cut to a Kevin Owens promo, basically just reestablishing him as a singles competitor here on SmackDown, thinking about all the first time matches he can have, and also just saying how he just wants to punch Austin Theory and Grayson Waller in the face. So at this point, it's going to be litty bop. So then we get an announcement for next week's SmackDown that is going to be Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio teaming up to take on Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, the Street Profits. And after that, we're going to have the contract signing for the main event for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship match. Roman Reigns and LA Knight signing that contract. Now, of course, absolutely nothing is going to happen at this contract signing, because you know all contract signings go off without a hitch, right? All right, and lastly, in the main event, we had EO Sky taking on Charlotte Flair, defending that women's championship. Now EO Sky retained. Now we're just going to zoom through the match. Matter of fact, pause there. No disrespect to Charlotte Flair and EO Sky. Match, pay-per-view quality stuff. But I'm only zooming through it for what happened after, because immediately after the match was over, Damage Control jumped in the ring, attempted to jump Charlotte, and who came back? Bianca Belair, the EST of WWE, returned and beat the snot out of everybody, and her and Charlotte stood tall as SmackDown went off the air. Now, SmackDown has always been a consistently good show for me over the past couple years. It has never led me astray. There hasn't been many episodes where I was scratching my head trying to figure out what's going on, and this was not one of those either. So for sure, if I had to give SmackDown an up or a down this week, I'm going to give it an up, because I left away wanting to see more. Can't wait to see what happens next week. And I just also learned that this week is going to be on, no, excuse me, next week, SmackDown is going to be on FS1 instead of Fox. So FS1 instead of Fox. But overall, I'm going to give it an up. We back. Let's get it. Now we are previewing tomorrow night's AEW Dynamite, emanating from the Lee Corus Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Boy, listen, this card is stacked from top to bottom, okay? At the top, the main event, we got MJF defending the Dynamite Diamond Ring against Juice Robinson. Now, MJF has to win this match. If he loses it, then the story is just going to get sadder and sadder, and it's going to be even sweeter and sweeter when somebody turns on somebody in this MJF Adam Cole story. Now after that, Hook and RVD have opponents. They will team up to take on the Dark Order's John Silver and Alex Reynolds. Now, also, Hikaru Shida, the women's champion, after that match with Emi Sakura, crazy match, defending the AEW Women's World Championship against Ruby Soho. That's one you definitely want to keep your eye on. Also, that gift. Tony Khan has a gift for Sting. It's supposed to be, they're pumping this gift up like it's something special. So I can't wait to see what said gift is. Also, Chris Jericho will be sitting down to have an interview with Rene Paquette after that whooping that he took from Powerhouse Hobbs the other week. And also, the Ring of Honor 6-man tag team championships are on the line as the Elite defend against the Hardys, Matt and Jeff, and Brother Zay. Now that match is probably going to start the show. If I know AEW like I know them, that's probably going to kick off the show, but I cannot wait for it. And also, the match that I wasn't looking for, but the match I'm definitely looking forward to the most, Bryan Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli taking on the AEW International Champion Orange Cassidy and the Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada. Now, if you know, then you know. But if you don't know, you need to go find out. Okada is him. And in Philadelphia, nonetheless, this is going to go crazy. I cannot wait. For real, I will be sitting front and center, eyes glued to the screen, ready for this AEW Dynamite. All right. So with that being said, I'm done. I don't got no more wrestling to talk about. Now, we're going to get the gang back. We'll all be here next week to talk about everything that's going on in wrestling. And if I'm not mistaken, Niall definitely wants to talk about the announcement that TNA is coming back. It's no longer going to be Impact. It's definitely just going to be TNA again. Now, I'm happy, but I cannot wait to hear what Niall has to add on that. And I just can't wait to, do this again and talk to all of y'all. So please throw a thumbs up, download the cast wherever you can get it at. Follow me on Instagram at Uncle Black 215. That's UNCLEBLACC 215. So Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever, all of that, everywhere. All right. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for tuning in. And I'm out.